The Israel Report with Rolien Marx.
Rolien, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. Well, I'm barely managing my Brexit. My Mexit. I'm getting them so confused these days. I can't help it.
Oh, my goodness.
But I hear you talking about cars. And yes. One of our stories today is a very welcome development regarding cars.
You won't believe it, but Louis Karpis actually addressed some of this in his sports broadcast, and I think stole a bit of your thunder, if that's where you were intending to go. But while you dwell on that, Rolien, to read a headline that Israel, the land of sand, is actually exporting natural gas to Egypt, and that it's happening, and that it's not some future maybe event. I mean, it's mind blowing. All those bad jokes about the promised land, you know, we turned left when we sort of turned right, and, you know, maybe we've got to eat our words. What's the story? What is the gas story today?
Well, today is a day for eating words because we constantly mock Israeli drivers, and here we have a Formula One driver.
Okay.
And who'd have thunk it, but we have Israel exporting natural gas to Egypt. It's huge.
It's beyond huge. I mean, from a geopolitical perspective, from a financial perspective, from every perspective possible, who would have imagined it?
Well, let's unpack that. A couple of weeks ago, we spoke about the Leviathan starting to pump gas, starting to work. And we spoke about the possible impact that it would have for the region. It does have an impact environmentally, although the Ministry of Environment Protection gave it the all clear. But today we start exporting natural gas to Egypt. This changes the dynamics of relying on oil in the Middle East quite substantially. It's tremendous for the Israeli economy, but also for bilateral relations with Egypt. And soon we will start exporting to Jordan as well. But also what this allows is for Israel to export natural gas via Egypt into Europe. So it's really cause for celebration. You know, as you said in the beginning, we've always joked you should have turned left when you could have turned right. We got shortchanged on the natural resources stick. But to quote Prime Minister Netanyahu, Israel is fast becoming an energy superpower, a country that exports energy. And it's going to revolutionize the way we deal with gas. And also, we've been able to have meetings with the energy ministers, not just of Egypt, but of Italy, Greece, Cyprus, Jordan, and even the Palestinian Authority, which is quite exceptional. Could this be something out of the blue that perhaps bodes well for negotiating a future peace if we have to change the way we rely on gas? But very important, while we're talking about this, in the last hour, breaking news that at least 4 rockets were fired from the Gaza Strip into South Israel. 2 were intercepted by the Iron Dome, 2 landed in empty fields, and thank goodness we don't have any casualties or damage to report. But we do know that the IDF are investigating. So that I had to get. That's very, very important breaking news. While we're talking about something that could really, really change the geopolitical and, as you say, the economic landscape of the Middle East.
Rolien, just sticking on that topic for a moment, if you take a country like Norway, which made very, very, very smart use of its oil reserves and now has one of the world's most valuable pension funds because they invested it really cleverly and they've taken care of the future needs of Norwegian citizens, is there a plan in place from the Israeli authorities to handle this resource, you know, in the interests of everybody?
Well, that's an excellent question. So far, you know, we haven't heard of any plans to kind of link pension funds or anything to that. I think the first test is to see how well we can export, what this could do for bilateral relations with our regional neighbors as well as with Europe. We want to see how that goes, if this all works. And then I'm sure that we will probably hear more more about pension funds or investments linked to the Leviathan.
Sure, and I mean, you know, let's acknowledge that Israel is not Norway and has a totally different geopolitical scenario. You know, it's faced with different challenges. But in any event, interesting news coming out of South Dakota. Tell us about, apparently they're signing an anti-BDS executive order.
Well, this is quite incredible. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem yesterday signed legislation that would make her state the 28th. Take that in, people. Mm-hmm. We are over half the states in the United States, the 28th state in the country to take legal measures against boycotts of Israel. So we're over halfway there, and more and more, I think, are realizing the fact that any support of BDS, boycotts, divestment, and sanctions actually breaks down any positive discourse, any true kind of path to peace. As we know, BDS are very, very anti-normalization. They prove this by calling for BDS, for boycotts, divestment, and sanctions. And of course, we can't forget that it has been brought to light that many of these boycotts, divestment, and sanctions supporting organizations are actually linked to terrorists. So I think the world is waking up to the giant hate fest that is BDS. But yes, she signed her executive orders. And what this does is that it requires any kind of vendor that seeks contracts with state agencies, authorities, commissions, departments, or institutions of the state of South Dakota to not engage with any companies that participate in the boycotts of Israel. And she said in her statement, Israel is one of our nation's closest allies, and their success is critical to American national security. Today, we reaffirm that South Dakota stands with Israel and will only contract with businesses who agree to fairly compete. Our state will not stand for any discrimination based on race or religion. And that's quite exceptional, because we've said many, many times that BDS is kind of the new form of anti-Semitism, that this questioning the legitimization of the state of Israel, or the bid to delegitimize the state of Israel in the family of nations, does have grossly anti-Semitic undertones. And here we have yet another lawmaker in the United States starting to realize that. But it's not just the United States that is taking BDS to task or signing ordinances against it. There are other countries as well, and other cities around the world, that are also saying, you know what, the jig is up. We see you for who you are.
Rolina, you mentioned 28 states have passed legislation, equivalent legislation. Have these been challenged at all? Do we know whether they've withstood the scrutiny of the courts?
Well, in some cases, there've been individual companies or organizations who want to challenge, who want to put the case of BDS forward. But I think, you know, we have very, very astute lawmakers in the United States, on a state level. And, they are saying, you know what, we see right through this. Israel is our ally. And also we see the fact that, this is an anti-Semitic movement, and we want no part of it. Europe is a little bit more challenging. A lot of theories that Europe don't want to atone, or they want to alleviate the guilt that many countries feel for their role in the Shoah and the Holocaust, and therefore, if they can apportion blame onto Israel, it kind of absolves them in many ways. This is a theory that many of us feel, which is why there are some countries in Europe, there are some cities or entities that haven't been so strong against BDS, but we're seeing it from our strongest ally, and that is very important.
Very important indeed. Can you address in 1 minute that remains the story about the Syrian army who claims that Israel attacked a T4 base?
Well, the Syrian army, and this is also in accordance to the Syrian Air Force, they have said that various unmanned aircraft attacked a T4 airbase, that this apparently this T4 airbase has been attacked at least 4 times, and they are attributing this to the Israeli Air Force. Also, we've heard from Lebanese news outlet Al-Mayadeen, they've also blamed this on Israel, and Israel, you know, no doubt will attack whether they admit it or not. Israel will not allow for Iran to encroach ever closer to Israeli territory, and anything that Israel is going to attack, any weapons depot, any smuggling, will probably have ties to Iran.
And so, unfortunately, and I really mean that, that's why we have to leave it, because we are late. I could speak to you for half an hour, no problem, but I have to make do with 10 minutes. Rolene Marks, same time tomorrow.
Same time tomorrow. It's our daily date. What can I say?
And I look forward to it.